ಮೇಘಾಗಿನೆ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಸಹನಾಭವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದುಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ.
Today we are going to look into the Mrityunjaya Mantra. Manana Trayate iti Mantra. A mantra is that which by chanting with one's mind behind it, manana, one has to keep that focus. Manana Trayate. It helps you cross over. Cross over whatever one wants to cross over. And one wants to cross over one's deficiencies, one's fears, one's weaknesses, whatever one wants to cross over. That which helps one cross over that. How? Mananath. By a mindful chanting. By a mindful chanting. Is called mantra. Because people ask the question, why can I not make my own? This, how does it get this attribute, mantra? Because it has been seen by a rishi. So you saw me mention at a time that a mantra is potentiated by the seer, the rishi. And then you potentiate it further by chanting repeatedly. So the mantra abhyasa makes it bless us more. So this is mantra. And Mrityunjaya mantra is not just called a mantra, it's called Mahamantra. It means it is a very, very well established mantra, a very efficacious mantra. Mrityunjaya Mahamantra. What is the use of this mantra? Mrityunjaya Mahamantra. Mrityum Jayati iti Mrityunjaya. That which wins over Mrityu. The normal meaning, Grudhyartha, of the word Mrityu is death, as we all know. But we will explore that further. What is death, we will explore further. But for now, Mrityunjayaha, Mrityunjayati, that which helps you win over Mrityu is called Mrityunjayaha. And a mantra which helps you win over Mrityu is called Mrityunjaya Mantra. And it is Mahancha Asav Mantra, therefore Mahamantra. It is a very efficacious mantra. You will see this being chanted quite commonly. The most common use is for not just death, ill health. Anytime a person is not well, what can be the worst result? Person will not come back, okay? So then, you chant the Mrityunjaya Mantra, because you will see the Mrityunjaya Mantra being chanted on a birthday. A Janma Nakshatra day, one of the homas done is Mrityunjaya Homa. Why? Let him have a long life. What will rob one of one's life? Mrityu will take away the life. Pranahara. Therefore, we pray. So I'm saying it is not just to avoid death. It is for also for good health. This is the normal understanding which people have. Mrityunjaya Mantra. We will explore as it in various dimensions. We will look at what the mantra means. So how does the mantra go? Om Tryambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Ivabandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamamritaat. This is the mantra. What's the verb? Some grammar has to come, you know. What's the word? Mukshiya. Mukshiya. What is Mukshiya? The root is Mucha. To be free. Mukshiya. Now, we normally know of Munchati. Muchyate. But this form is different. Mukshiya. It happens to be the first person singular. mukshiyam. This is called, in English we call it the benedictive mood, but in Sanskrit it is called ashilinga lakara. You have lat lakara, which is present tense. You have lang lakara, which is past tense. Then there is vidhilinga lakara, which is supposed to be mandatory. But this is called ashirling. Means ashihi is the purpose of this. What is ashihi? I'm just explaining how the meaning just comes out if you know the word. Ashihi means what? Ashihi means hita prarthana. Ashirvada. Hita prarthana. Which means we pray for the good. We pray for hitam. Good can be two things. It can be prayashcha shreyashcha. Should be hitam. What is ultimately good is shreyas. What is temporally good be praise. But hitam both are in some ways. If you are looking at the long run, shreyas is hitam. So hita prarthana, it is a prayer for what is hitam, what is good, what is desirable. Therefore, what is an ashirvada? When you go and you do pranam to Swamiji, and Swamiji says shubham bhuyat, you know, or dirghayushman bhava, or he just says all the best. Today's word, Swamiji might say all the best, or he might say om. Om just means I acknowledge what you did. Right? So what is ashirvada then? Hita prarthana. So Pujya Swamiji is doing a prarthana for your hitam. So you invoke that, you have to tap it. You invoke that by doing what? By doing a namaskaram. So namaskara is not to the person. Namaskara is with the swartha. Namaskara is for my own benefit. I want my hitam. Right? And if a person like Swamiji makes a prayer, he is called Satya Sankalpaha. Any Mukta Purusha is Satya Sankalpaha because he is one with truth, he is one with Ishvara. So what he says will come true. Which means what will come out of his mouth will end up being the truth. Therefore, when I do a namaskar, what do I want? I want one hita prarthana from him. My prarthana may not be as efficacious, but his prarthana will work. So when he says, Ayushman Bhava, I am going to have a long life. If he says, Buddhiman Bhava, I will have some buddhi to use. Right? So I'm saying, this is ashihi. So this, how did we get it ashihi now? This mukshiya is in a lakara called ashirling. And the meaning means, that is the dhatu's meaning, which is to be free, and that you have to add this hitava prarthana. So it is a prayer for a freedom. Mukshiya. May I be free. May I enjoy the blessings by which I will be free. That's the central word. Mukshiya. When we use the word free, there has to be what? There has to be a bondage. There has to be something binding me. Either real or imaginary. Okay? That bondage is what I have to seek freedom from. So what do I look for now? Mukshiya. From what should I be free? Bandhanat mukshiya. Bandhana. So you know the English word? Bandana. That bandana comes from bandhana. Sanskrita is the base for it. Okay? Badnati anena. That by which something is tied is called bandhana. And that bandhana, having lost its Sanskrit touch, became bandana. So that which binds, in this case we are talking about a scarf, which binds something, your hair. But what are we talking about here? A freedom from what? Freedom from bandhana. What is binding you? You seem to be free. You're walking, you're talking, you're praying. You seem to be okay. Mrityoho bandhana. From the bondage of mrityu, I should be free. Because jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu. Anything, any being which is born in time will come to end in time. What has a beginning in time will come to end in time. What is birth? Manifestation. Coming into appearance. What is death? Going out of manifestation. Nashaha. Commonly translated as destruction. But what is nash? Nasha adarshane. What is not seen? Adarshanam is not being seen. So what is not seen is said to be lost. Right? Because something misplaced is something lost. It's there. I'm 100% sure I have the key to my room. But I can't find it until I break the lock. Then the key will appear. Right? That is Adarshanam. It is not Nashtaha completely. It's not completely destroyed. What? It is Adarshanam Gataha. So here also, what is it now? This Mrityu really is Adarshanam. Of what? This body came to manifest. This body goes out of manifestation. But then, why is Mrityu a Bandhana for me? Every day we read in the newspaper about how many people moving on in life. What is news really in today's world? What is news? How many died? How many were killed? Died naturally is not a topic. How many were killed? Unnaturally. Okay? And how many more are going to die for due to some calamity? Calamity is news. Bad news is news. Unfortunately, that's the way the world is today. Because people are looking for something which is extraordinary. And extraordinary to them is something which untimely is unnatural. Look at that. So this Mrityu happens every day. We read each day that so many people died in Egypt, so many people died in Indonesia, so many people died somewhere else, one due to volcano, one due to tsunami, one due to terrorism, you know. Nigeria is in news every day now. So it's happening. But then, how do you feel about it? Do we have any connection with that? You may say, oh, it's not good. But then, life goes on. I will drink my coffee, enjoy my coffee, reading that brilliant newspaper, which talks about all this. Then why is Mrityu a problem? The Mrityu is not a problem insofar as it connects to me. If it connects to me, then Mrityu is a problem. Anything is a problem only insofar as it connects to me. Atma Sheshaha is the only problem. If it is not connected to me, there is no problem. Or if there is a problem, it is only to the extent it is connected to me. Right? Because if somebody died in Timbuktu, okay, Timbuktu was supposed to be an unknown place, but now Timbuktu is well known. Why? Because in the recent Islamist incursions, in Mali it's there, Timbuktu. And you hear of it now and then in the news now. So this Timbuktu, if somebody died in Timbuktu, I don't care why, because it's so remote, I don't even know where it is. But if I am told somebody died in Chennai, then my question is, which area did the accident happen? Where did the building fall? Is it the building my family lives in? Questions come. Why? I am connected through a connection. Right? So the fact is, for all of us, one thing we are connected with, 100% if we are born, is what? With death. Therefore, Mama Mrityuhu is definitely Atma Shesha. I am connected to it. I am very well connected with it. Therefore, what do I not want? I consider that Nasha to be my Nasha. That Mrityu is my destruction. I come to an end. I, as I know myself, come to an end. Therefore, I don't want that Bandhana. Therefore, what? Mrityoho Bandhanat Mukshiya. I have a headache. I have a headache. How can I free myself of headache? One possibility is that I take a remedy of some kind. What is another possibility? What is the soul of the problem? The head. Chop the head off. Is there a problem? Na rahega baans, na bajegi bansuri. No? If there is no fight, there is no music. No problem. There is no head. There is no headache. So can I take this option? You know? Can I get out of this Mrityu like that? Vandhanat Mukshiya? No. I don't want to be ending. I want to be around. I want to hang around. Therefore, then what do I have to do now? I have to find some other way out. So prayer is for what? Mrityoho Vandhanat Mukshiya. But why did I bring this example? If I chop my head off, the headache is gone. What else went away with it? The head went away too. That's not desirable. That's what the next part of the prayer. Ma amrita at. Mrityoho bandhanat mukshiye. I should be freed from the clutches of death, from the throes of death. But what could I not be freed from?
Amritaat.
From amritatvam. From the nityatvam. From the ability to live forever. I want to be forever. Forever. I don't want to end. That the being of mine should never come to an end. Nasam iti mahuhu. Let it not happen that I am not there. Therefore, mrityoho mukshim. Definitely let me be freed from this death. But that ma amritaat. So my prayer is that may I not throw the baby with the bathwater. I want to be free from death, but I want to hold on to what's valuable. What do I do for this? This is my prayer. This is the Ashirvachanam I am seeking. This is the blessing I am seeking from the Lord. Who should I seek from the Lord? Who is the Lord now?
Priyambakam yajamahe.
Yajamahe. For this, getting this blessing, how do I tap this blessing? How do I get this blessing?
Yajamahe.
Yaja is a dhatu which has the meaning of to pray or to do the offerings in Agni. That is why it's called yajna. When you put offerings, that is called yajna. So yajanam in general is relating with Ishvara in some form.
Yajamahe.
Now by now you should all know what yajamahe, hopefully. At least to some extent. What mahe will be, it means it's a plural ending of first person.
Yajamahe
means what? We all pray. We all pray. For what? Who do we pray to? For what I already mentioned, for that blessing. Who do we pray to? To the Lord. Lord in what form here?
Triambakam.
Second is Triambakam yajamahe. Triambaka. What is the word Triambaka? Trini ambakani yasya. Ambaka is ice. Long word for ice. Okay. Tree is English tree. Very simple. Sanskrit and English are very similar. Tree and tree. So Triambakam is tree. So three eyes. Who is the person who has three eyes? Considered to be Lord Shiva.
Triambakam yajamahe.
What is the story between this, behind these three eyes? Couple of ways of looking at it. One is, how do you and I see? With two eyes. How do we perceive Ishvara here? All that is here is Ishvara. If all that is here is Ishvara, and if you could visualize him seeing the universe, what would be his eyes? If all the entire universe is Ishvara and you visualize him seeing like we do with sight, how would he see? What would be his eyes? From perspective of we who are in this earth. So it is, the sun is one eye, the moon is one eye, and if there is neither moon nor sun, how do you see? In the light of what do you see?
Visible?
Fire. Let's go a little more basic. Fire. So there are three possibilities for my eyes to see. For my eyes to see, it is blessed by Ishvara. How is the blessing? In the form of eyes, alright. But how is eyes blessed? It has to be blessed by light. What are the sources of light we know? Don't talk of electricity. Electricity also a derivative of ultimately sun alone. You can't talk of electricity without the sunlight being there. So, the light sources are what? Surya, Chandra, and Agni. So these, we say, Ishvara, Shiva has got three eyes. What are they? Arka, Chandra, and Agni. Three eyes are there. So these three eyes are the eyes through which Ishvara is always seeing. Because any time, day or night, one of these is there. Except on a moonless night. Even then, we don't see the moon. The moon is very much there. The sun is also there for that matter. Right? But the idea is that for us to visualize that the Lord is looking at me all the time, but Sakshi is always there. So therefore, I can hide what I do from you. I cannot hide from the Lord. Right?
Triambakaha.
So Triambakam yajamahe. We pray to him. But one more way of looking at Trayambakam. Now there's a story. This is a mythological story, but understand what the story is about. Parvati wants to get married to Shiva. Shiva is sitting in dhyana. You know? So he's in that yoga mudra, he's just doing his dhyana. And how long does he sit for dhyana? For ages. He won't get up. Nothing disturbs him. Because whatever disturbs is himself, he won't get disturbed. Now they have to disturb. So what do people get disturbed by? Something which they should have a value for. Right? How would a human mind think? What does he have a value for? That he has. You suborn the person, you bribe the person with something that he or she has value for. Right? We have a lot of stories like this. I'll say another story before this. Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra was a great rishi and he was competing with Vasishtha at one point in time. Another rishi, my name Vasishtha. Indra, who is considered the lord of, you know, the heavens. Indra is a position, okay? Indra is not a person. Indra is a position. It's like the prime minister. The chair. Somebody else can take your chair. So whenever another fellow can be a contender, you have to protect yourself against him. Otherwise you lose your chair. Right? So Indra, notice this fellow is doing too much of japa, penance. And he might take my chair one day. I need to stop this fellow. How do you stop him? Let him not achieve enough punya to become Indra. Destroy him before that. How do we do it? Then he called one of his courtesans. Urvashi or Ramba, Ramba, I think I don't know. Urvashi was it? Menaka. Menaka. He called Menaka. One celestial dancer by name, Menaka. He said, you know what? I have a job for you. An errand. What's the errand? You need to go down where Vishwamitra is doing penance. Just hang around a little. Disturb him. That's it. Nothing more to be done. You just disturb him and come back. He said, why should I do it? You are the lord of all devatas. Why don't you go and do it? For you it should be a breeze. No, I don't want to go. Why do you not want to go? He's too powerful. He might curse me. So I could get cursed? No, you needn't get cursed. So how do you expect me to do? He said, well, if you don't go, I'll take care of you anyway. You have no choice, dear. It's Hobson's choice. If you go, you have a chance you'll come back because I'll help you. If you don't, why take care of you? So what choice does she have? He said, okay. But she made a deal, okay? Help me. So he said, okay, I'll send all the devatas to help you. All you have to do is distract Nabal. So he went. Vishwamitra got distracted and the result was Shakuntala was born. And he lost his merit and he fell from where he had to be. Indra was comfortable. So these people said, let's try the same trick here. Shiva is doing meditation. Right? Now, who is the Lord? The love is also personified by a person called Kamadeva. Okay. So, he is supposed to have an arrow which is made of clouds. Okay? Cupid. English you call him Cupid. So, they sent him. Hey, you go and distract Shiva. You put that arrow of love into him and then he will look at Parvati and it's over. Not to destroy his penance that way. They only wanted him. The reason was this. Shiva had to give birth to a son who would destroy the demons who were troubling the devas. And to have a son, he has to have a wife. To have a wife, he has to get married. To get married, he has to look at a woman. This was the problem. So they sent Kamadeva. Come on, disturb. What did he do? He went there and did whatever he had to do in the day. So you should understand, Kamadeva doesn't have to be person. It's a way of looking at it. It's not physicalized necessarily. But Kamadeva caused a disturbance. Kamadeva went. Shiva noticed something's not right. So it is said he opened his third eye. What did he do? Kamadeva became ashes. He was burnt. Burnt to ashes. There is no more Kamadeva. He had to be resuscitated. Okay? That's the story. His ashes. But because Parvati had sent him, they did something to bring him back later. It was all post facto. But the fact is, it was destroyed. Now, what is this third eye? The story for us is what is important. What is the third eye? What, by opening your eyes, can you destroy a thing which is existing? There's a book. Open your eyes. Can you destroy it by seeing it? Seeing something doesn't destroy it. Then what destroys? How can seeing something destroy a thing? If you can see through the lies, if you can see that it is not real, if you can see that what you think you're seeing is not what you're seeing, then what is there in it? You see that it is no longer something that bothers you. So a kama, a desire, is what? It can only come if I have a sense of incompleteness centered on myself. If I am incomplete, then you can give me something to complete myself. But puranatvam, if it's already there, if my cup is already full, you can't come and say, can I pour some more tea in your cup? There's no room for the cup to take tea. So Shiva opened his eyes means what? He saw through it. Means he already sees through it. This is all a story to make this very clear. When he sees through it, there is no more Kamadeva. Because Kama or desire is for an apurna. A Kama which is compelling. Not a Kama which is coming out of purnatva. Not a desire coming out of wholeness. To say, yeah, I'll have a vada today. Why not? No problem with that. If the vada is not necessary for my happiness. Right? But Shiva, just look. So I'm saying, what is the third eye? The third eye stands for knowledge. So Triambakam Yajamahe. I'm saying you can look at both ways now. You can look at that vision which pervades all eyes, which pervades everything in the universe. Or you can also look at it as that which has the normal indriya vision. And it also has the knowledge backing it all the way. So in the name itself, see, when I invoke a name, the name itself tells me what is my wish. Okay? As Swamiji says, we're traveling on a train, a guy comes, chaiwala, means what? I'm a tea vendor, that's what he's declaring. And what do you say? Tea vendor. Does he come and ask you, why did he call me? Just pour tea. Because he knows why you call him. So if I call, you know, Triambaka, what I'm asking for? I'm asking for a third eye. Way of looking at it. So I'm saying, in the very name you can bring yourself to a state of meditativeness.
Triambakam yajamahe.
What kind of Triambakam?
Sugandhim.
Fragrant. Sugandhi is fragrant.
Sugandhim.
One who is fragrant. What? He is wearing some samsara or what? You know, what's the special perfume he uses? You know? We don't know which brand he uses. So the question is, what is a sugandhi? What do we all have? What is the opposite sugandha?
Durgandha.
Death smells. Let a body lie for a while. How long does it take for it to start smelling? It smells. So what are all of we?
Durgandhi.
Matyam is Durgandhi. What is subject to time is Durgandhi. What is Sugandhi? That which does not have a whiff of the Durgandha of death.
Sugandhim.
We look at it in another way, a little later.
Pushti Vardhanam.
Another adjective. Triambakam, Sugandhim, Pushti Vardhanam. What is Pushti Vardhanam?
Vardhanam
is increase, growth, expansion, Vridhit Vardhane, to increase. Increase of what?
Pushti Vardhanam.
Pushti is nourishing. Poshanam is nourishing. Pushti means same. Dharana and Poshana, two words. Dharana is that which sustains. Poshana is that which nourishes. How do you sustain? By nourishing. Once you have something in place, it has to be nourished, it has to be maintained. So there is Srishti, there is Siti, there is Vaya. In Siti, you need Poshanam all the time. That is Vishnu's job. Right?
poshanam. Pushtivardhanam. What is Pushtivardhanam? An epithet for Triambaka, for Shiva. What kind of person is he? He nourishes. In what way does Ishvara nourish us? Is that a good question? In what way does Ishvara nourish us? A better question is, who else nourishes? There is only one Vardhanam. There is only one Pushtivardhanam. All nourishment, either directly or indirectly, comes only from Ishvara. Direct and indirect again is viewpoint. I don't mean it in paramarthic sense. Okay? But any nourishment I receive, anything I see, anything I objectify is only Ishvara. So what is Puttivardhana? One who nourishes.
Urvarukami babandhanan mrityor mukshi yatmamritaat.
Urvarukam iva. So what did I pray for? To keep the context in mind.
Mukshiya.
May I be free? From what?
Bandhana.
From bondage. Of what?
Mrityoho.
Of death. Okay. Who do I pray to?
Triambakam sugandhim pushtivardhanam.
Alright. This is all said. Now, in what manner should I be free? The manner of being free is taught now.
Urvarukam iva.
Urvaruka is some kind of a melon. Okay? What is the speciality of this melon? You have to know. Why this melon? We don't know what melon it is in translation today. At least in English I don't know a name for it. But it's a melon. Melons normally grow on creepers. Okay? And this melon is not something which is in the air. It's a heavy melon. It's on the ground. So the creeper is on the ground and the melon is also on the ground. When the melon is small, it's attached to the creeper. It grows, it grows, it grows, it grows, becomes larger. It's on the ground. One fine day when it's fully ready and ripe, the stalks just get separated. How did it get separated? It's ripe enough. That's it. It's ripe enough and it separates. What's the beauty of this? There is no force involved. The melon grew from being attached, from being connected, to becoming one which is free from that bondage with the creeper. It's free. It's free from any need for nourishment or anything else from that melon at that point. And it did not come out of force. I did not pluck the melon and put it down. Did the melon move? When it got separated, did it move? That's the reason it's on the ground. It doesn't fall down. It's on the ground. It just separates. How did it separate? Because it matured. It ripened. It became a fruit. It is the fruit. Only then it happens. What do I want to separate myself from? From bandhana. How will I be separate from this bandhana? I will do tapas, standing on one foot for 100 years. I can't even do that. Today's people, we can't do it. But I'm saying, suppose you did. What is that? That's like saying, I pluck the melon and put it down. Doesn't work. What do we want? No effort. Is there any effort for the melon to become ripe? No. What does it do? Just ease. In time, it becomes ripe and it just stays where it is. There is no effort involved. What is this ripening? What is this ripening for us? We have to grow. We have to grow from where we are to the point where we recognize what we really are. Right? That growth. So what is the nourishment we need? We need nourishment in the form of adhikarittva. We have to grow. We need nourishment in the form of teaching. We need nourishment in the form of the environment, a conditional environment like Gurukul. We need a support group. All this is nourishment.
Because all this is required for this melon to make sure. Right? We are all melons. We have to make sure. So, Urvarukam, in the same manner, with the ease, with the effortlessness in which, with which a melon is freed from a creeper, in that manner may I be free from this unbreakable link, seemingly unbreakable link with death. Urvarukamiva bandhanat, urvarukamiva, like this urvaruka, may I be freed. Now, urvaruka, when it is ripe, how does it smell? A melon, when it is ripe, how does it smell? I still remember in chemistry, we used to talk of organic compounds. It was aldehydes or something like that. And how do you recognize them? They have a fruity odor. That is a term we used in school. They have a fruity odor. Esters, yeah, esters, correct. Yeah, thank you. So, we all understand what's a fruity odor. And similarly, if you wanted to recognize, you know, H2S gas, this would be a name for it, the smell of rotten eggs. Give you two examples, Sugandhi and Durgandhi. We all know what it is. So I'm saying, what is a Sugandhim now? A raw, immature fruit doesn't have Sugandhi. You take a mango, it may be the best, wonderful mango. You pluck it when it's raw, green, and smell it. It has some smell, I'm not saying it doesn't. But that's not the fruity odor. It's not the fragrance or a sweet, ripe fruit. When does it get that ripeness? When it's nourished with all the nutrients and time, both. The kala also does something there. So, when all the nutrients come, then it becomes sugandhi. So, sugandhim can also be looked upon in that way. That it is that which has a good odor, the odor of maturity, the odor of ripeness. Okay? Sugandhim, pushtivardhanam. So now we can look at pushti vardhanam. What is the way we are like seeking pushti, nourishment? I mentioned all those. The adhikarityam, the teacher, the teaching, the place, the time, the situations, the friends, the company I keep, the job I have, the family I am born. Where does it end? All the way I need pushti. Therefore, pushti vardhanam. By saying pushti vardhanam, what am I praying for? Hey, give me some nourishment. So, in the very name, there's a prayer. In the name Sugandhim, there's a prayer. So, each name, if you contemplate on each name brings you alive its own meaning. Sugandhim pushtivardhanam urvarukamiva bandhanat mrityor mukshiya mamritaat. So now, what is Mrityunjaya? Let's come back to Mrityunjaya for right now. Mrityunjaya also has a story behind it. The word Mrityunjaya also has a Puranic story behind it. Markandeya. Okay. Markandeya is a great rishi. Okay. His parents did not have progeny for a long time. They wanted progeny. They prayed to Lord Shiva. And Shiva appeared, pleased with them, and said, okay, you can have a son. But what punya you have right now allows for two possibilities. I give you a choice. You've been so wonderful devotee, I give you a choice. You can either have a son who will live a long time, but he will not be a fellow who is virtuous, pious, he will not be dharmic. Or you can have a son who is wonderful in all manners, but at the age of 16, Kala will come and take him away. His life will end at the age of 16. Make a choice. What kind of a choice is it? So Swamiji says, if you know, there is no choice. Choice is only there when you don't know something well enough. So what's the choice here? It shows the 16-year-old. The boy will live for 16. And that boy was Markandeya. Markandeya was born and he was a very wonderful child. Made his parents very happy. But the shadow, lingering shadow of what's impending. The impending death. And at some point, the child saw his parents are always kind of having a long face and asked, what's wrong? And he told him, this is what your story is.
worry. And he started to pray. He started to pray to Shiva. He was a great Shiva Bhakta. So on the appointed day, when he was supposed to be taken, he went to the temple and started to pray. Yamarajas, see, again in our tradition, death is not considered something undesirable. We give him the status of a lord, Yamaraja. He's a king. He's called Yamadharma Raja. Because based on your punya and papa, he makes sure you are accounted for everything properly. Nothing remains. So he enforces the law. He's an enforcer. He's got a job to do. We respect him for that. So we pray to him also. So the southern direction is supposed to be Adhishthana Devata is Yama. We have no problem in inviting Yama. Okay? So Yama Dharma Raja, his minions came. He doesn't come himself. He delegates. You know, and go. Because he's got so much of job to do. If you look at it, who is the guy who's most busy? See, in the US, they discovered a few years ago that one of the best and most growing industries is the death industry. If you are in the business of making coffins, selling space in the graveyards, that's wonderful business. And they do a great job. They go to a great executive in a company who's making millions of bucks and tell him, hey, see, you have a wonderful office looking at the east side of the river, Hudson River. It's beautiful. Where would we like to rest after your day? We like to rest in some funny grave somewhere unmarked, unknown, unsung. And all your relations will come to visit the grave. No, annually they visit them. Wouldn't you like to have a good place, a place of view? Yeah, I think I would like a place of view. Okay. So now, what would you like? Sell him an idea. A place which he is going to rest. Now, alright, we settled the place. Now, you're resting in such a wonderful place which is costing you $1 million for the grave site. How, in what kind of coffin would you like to be buried? But some ordinary wood like this? No, absolutely not. Then what? So now that's discussed. So I'm saying it's big business. Death is big business. In general. Right? So now, the situation is what here? That we, this Yamadharma Raja has got so much business to do. He is not free. He doesn't have freedom. Because why is this a growing business? Because there are more and more people who are old, especially in the US. The demographics are such, there are more people who are old than young. Therefore, more people are going to die. So which is the business that is going to work? The death business. Yamadharma Raja is the owner of the death business. Everybody else is just hanging off it. So Yamadharma Raja is too busy. He has a lot of employees. They are called Yama King Karas. Kim Karomi, the King Karaha. What should I do? Who is next? That's his job. Why is it called a King Karaha? Kim Karomi. So he is sent. He is packed off. Go get this guy, 16 years around. Yama King Karas come to see him. He is in a Shiva temple. This is out of bounds. We can't go. Because he is in Shiva temple. You see the respect in the tradition. If you are sitting in a temple, Yama King Karas cannot come after you. Because you are connected with the Lord. Who is the Lord of time. Who is the Lord of Yama himself. They go and report back to Yama. This fellow is sitting inside, he won't come out. Yama said, this is not right. We can't do anything for us. Alright, I'll take care of him myself. So Yama came. And what did he do? He did an ullanghanam. He crossed the boundary. He transcended the boundaries which are assigned to him. His duty cannot include questioning the Lord. Markandeya is hugging the Shivalinga and praying. Yamaraja said, I can take care of him. Went in. Then the Lord is said to have manifested from the Shivalinga. He comes and kicks Yama. That's one story. All they say, he looked at Yama and he just was born. But this is a common theme you will see in Shiva temples. Why I am relating this, you will see in some temples in Shiva temples. There is the Lingodhava. So Shiva comes out and is kicked. That's the scene. So what happened then? The Yamaraja, who is the person who limits our time, is taken care of by the Lord. Which means what? Mrityu is one over. Therefore he is called Mrityunjayaha. Mrityunjayati iti Mrityunjayaha. The one who wins over death is called Mrityunjaya. So that's the Mrityunjaya we are praying to. What does it mean to us? It means that if I connect to the Lord, then even death can't do a thing to me.
the general meaning. Now, as mukshus, are we trying to extend the life of this body? Not necessarily. But do we want to live forever? Yes, we do. In a sense, not through this body, but by recognizing the fact that, see, nobody wants to die. Why? Because easiness is my nature. Not recognizing that easiness is my nature is my problem. Then, what is death for a mukshu? What is death for a mukshu? What's real death? Pramado vai mrityuhu. Pramadaha, inadvertence, lack of alertness is death for all of us. Pramado vai mrityuhu. What kind of pramada? Shankara gives a wonderful example for pramada. You're a child playing with a ball, which you're bouncing. You play. As children, I'm sure a lot of us would have played with a ball. Just keep bouncing it. And how long you bounce? How many you count? So this kid is playing and there's a staircase. He's playing and takes up the ball. For a minute he loses attention. For a minute he loses his attention. Where does he recover the ball? He went up a flight, three flights of stairs. Where did he recover the ball? And the ball on the stairs? No. Is there something called inertia? Momentum? What falls from there, how far will the ball come down? You are going to recover it somewhere way down from the staircase. Why? What caused it? One moment of inadvertence. You would have reached that final destination, a terrace. But before that, you were inadvertent. That inadvertence takes the ball away. And the ball is gone, you go back. How long will it take you to come back? It takes so much time again to bring it back all the way. Again, if you are inadvertent, what happens? It goes away. So, pramado vai mrityu. What does pramada do? What is inadvertence? Inadvertence is not being alert to my own truth. I have been taught here what is my truth. But I see it only for a short time and I forget about it. That inadvertence takes me away from my own truth. It misleads. That ajnana will lead to what? Moha. What is moha then? Moha bhut sammoha. Sammoha sriti vibhramaha. Sriti bhramshat buddhinashaha. Buddhinashat pranashyati. One is completely destroyed. Because once one falls, you go down all the way and then you have to pull up your socks and come again up. This is nasty. This is pramada. So for a mumukshu, because somebody once asked Viritasmanandji this question, that's why it's coming to my mind very clearly. That why is this Mrityunjaya Sutra important for mukshus? It is not only death, it is not sickness. It is for our adhikaritvam, for our freedom from this pramada, we pray. So I'm saying the stotra is valid for everybody. Whether one is a mokshaarthi or a swargaarthi or if one is just a bhogaarthi. Doesn't matter, make a difference. Whatever one wishes, one can be blessed in any way by a prayer to Ishvara. So in all ways this mantra is efficacious. And quite commonly chanted in many of the ashrams also, because as I said it works in all ways. So, I'll chant the mantra again once and then let us. Puji Swamiji has informed that he will be coming back in a few days. He's doing better. So, having understood the mantra now, and having understood Mananat Rayate Iti Mantra, putting your mind fully, you chant this. Let us chant, and this can be chanted for oneself or can be chanted for others. Okay? So one can chant with anybody in mind, with the whole world in mind. So let us chant this mantra 11 times only. 11 times for the quick recovery and return of Puja Swami.
Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Vapandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamamritat. Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Vapandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamamritat. Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Vapandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamamritat. Om Triambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam ഉർവാരുകമിവ ബന്ധനാൻ മൃത്യോർമുക്ഷീയമാമൃതാത്. ഓം ത്യംബകയജാമഹേ സുഗന്ധിം പുഷ്ടിവർദ്ധനം. 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 ഉർവാരുകമിവ ബന്ധനാൻ മൃത്യോർമുക്ഷീയമാമൃതാത്. ഓം പൂർണമദ പൂർണമിദം പൂർണാത് പൂർണമുദച്യതേ പൂർണസ്യ പൂർണമാദായ പൂർണമേവാവശിഷ്യത്തെ. ഓം ശാന്തി ശാന്തി ശാന്തി. ഹരി ഓം ശ്രീ ഗുരുഭ്യോ നമഃ. ഹരി ഓം.